Hallelujah. I pray that everybody has had a great week so far, that you can testify that your God is an awesome God. Hallelujah. That you can also testify that He is marvelous in all His ways. Amen. Father, we just thank you tonight for allowing us to come together in prayer, to lift up your name, to magnify you, God, to glorify you, to exalt you, and to declare that there is nobody like you. You are God all by yourself. We say tonight, oh God, we are not coming in our own name, but we are coming in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And we're not coming in our own strength, but we're coming in His. Now we're coming in our own righteousness, but Father, we are coming in His. And we say, oh God, tonight, hear our prayer, attend to our supplication. Bring us into alignment with what heaven has ordained, that must be prayed for tonight, that must be called upon, oh God. We just ask for an elevation of faith, an elevation of understanding, and our awareness of what heaven is saying. Bring us to a place, oh God, where we can hear what the Spirit is saying, that we can see what the Spirit is doing. Let our decrees and our declarations be in alignment with what heaven is calling for. As we pray, O God, tonight, let there be a movement in the heavens, O God. Let angels be dispatched with answers for the people. Let prayers be answered. Let yokes be destroyed. Let chains be broken. Let the captivity of your people be broken, O God, tonight. Let the total liberty that is in God be made manifest in the lives of those that we are praying for, even in the lives of those that are joining us in prayer tonight, even in the lives of those that will hear through technology. May they be a movement in the heavens on their behalf. May heaven take a kind disposition towards them, O God, tonight. May they be a release of favor, a release of favor upon their life and all their days. May the grace and the mercy of God keep them, protect them, and watch over them. I pray for a special impartation for every man, every woman on the prayer line tonight. May they receive something in their spirit. May something be infused in their DNA, that they be brought to remembrance that they are children of the Most High God. Let they be an unveiling, an opening of the wells of anointing upon their lives. May they see that greater is He that is in them than he that is in the world. Whatever adversity is coming their way, I declare that, God, you are going to deliver them from them all. Your word says, many are the afflictions of the righteous, but you, O God, are going to deliver them from them all. I thank you, God, for the power of the resurrection that is in Christ, that is bringing every vision, every dream, that is bringing all those things back to life for your glory and for your glory alone. I thank you, O God, even for the power that is in the blood of Jesus, that the blood is washing and cleansing, purging our iniquity and our sins, bringing us into a place of right standing with our God. You said, enter your gates with thanksgiving, and we have to enter your courts with praise. Father, we are not afraid of coming in, because we know that there is blood on the mercy seat. Tonight, O God, we declare that the blood of Jesus is warring on our behalf against our adversaries. Not only is the blood warring on our behalf against our adversaries, but because of that blood, there is intercession going on before the throne of grace on our behalf. We declare that, God, no matter what we are going through, victory has been guaranteed because the blood is already on the altar. I declare, O God, over the lives of the men and women that are on this prayer line tonight, as your word says, no weapon fashioned against them shall prosper. I stand on that word tonight, Father, for your glory. And I declare that you are God and you will not lie. Your promises are yes and amen. The very words you spoke, O God, from your lips shall not return to you void, but they are going to prosper as they accomplish whatever you have sent them to do, O God, in the earth. That word which you said, no weapon formed against you shall prosper. We declare that, God, that word shall not return to you void. Therefore, every artillery that is being shot our way by the enemy, we declare that it will not prosper. Seeds of confusion, seeds of destruction, seeds, O God, of undervaluing ourselves. Tonight we declare that they are being uprooted, O God, in the name of Jesus. For we are the planting of the Lord. We are planted by the rivers of water, and our leaves will not wither. That at the appointed time in our season we shall bring fruit, O God. Not just fruit, but there will be much fruit through us in the name of Jesus. And Father, for somebody who's on this prayer line tonight who doesn't know you, I pray that tonight there is an invitation that is open, that their hearts are going to be broken to come into the presence of the Most High God and have their lives changed forever. Let there be a tangible manifestation of your glorious presence wherever they are right now, in the name of Jesus. Let this be their testimony that God took them from the miry clay and set their feet upon the solid rock. Let tonight be a night of transformation for somebody who has been looking for the seasons to change. I declare that there is an infusion of faith in their DNA, that they are going to take the word of God for what it is, a life-giving word, a word that releases not just faith, but greater faith to do greater works. Somebody say amen. Amen. We're going to read a few scriptures. We are going to read from Psalm 92, and I'm reading from the New King James Version. Psalm 92 from the New King James Version. I will probably might read all of it, and then we'll see what the Lord has for us. It says, "It is good to give thanks to the Lord and to sing praises to your name, O Most High, to declare your loving kindness in the morning and your faithfulness every night. When an instrument of 10 strings on the lute and on the harp with harmonious sound. For you, Lord, have made me glad through your work. I will triumph in the works of your hands. O Lord, how great are your works. Your thoughts are very deep. A senseless man does not know, nor does a fool understand this. When the wicked spring up like grass, and when all the workers of iniquity flourish, it is that they may be destroyed forever. But you, Lord, are on high forevermore. For behold your enemies, O Lord, for behold your enemies shall perish. All the workers of iniquity shall be scattered, but my horn you have exalted like a wild ox. I have been anointed with fresh oil. My eye also has seen my desire on my enemies. My ears hear my desire on the wicked who rise up against me. The righteous shall flourish like a palm tree. He shall grow like a cedar in Lebanon. Those who are planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God. They shall still bear fruit in old age. They shall be fresh and flourishing to declare that the Lord is upright. He is my rock, and there is no unrighteousness in him." Somebody say amen. I just want to piggyback just to remind you this few verses here. It says that those, verse number 13, those who are planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God. They shall still bear fruit in old age. They shall be fresh and flourishing to declare that the Lord is upright. He is my rock, and there is no unrighteousness in him. Somebody say amen. He is my rock, and there is no unrighteousness in him. Now, I read the scripture because I want us to understand a few things as we pray tonight, because sometimes we get in a position where we are expecting God to bring a breakthrough, for God to initiate a process. Look, we initiate a process, but for God to bring us to a particular place in our lives where his word has now become a reality. We are expecting God to do a quick work, that is, to take us from a low place and set us up high in a high place. For God to take us from the backside of the mountain and set us up in a palace on the throne. We are looking for God to do an instantaneous miracle to take us from poverty and bring us into a place of opulence, into a place of riches. Somebody say amen. And as we are asking for God to take us from a place of weakness and put us in a strength, in a place of great strength, we want God to do these things overnight without us having to go through a season and a time. Somebody say amen. A period and a time. I want to let you know that everything that God does has a process. Somebody say a process. Everything that God does has a process. God declares what he is going to do in your life. He speaks to you prophetically. He speaks to you emphatically, if I can use that word. He speaks to you clearly that there is going to be an appointed time when you are going to become what God has declared. For example, God came to David when he was by his father's house after being called by Samuel the day that he was anointed. God called David by the prophet Samuel and anointed David with the horn of oil. Somebody say amen. Anointed David with the horn of oil. Even before that, subsequent to that, you hear that God has said, I have rejected Saul. That's God speaking to Samuel. I have rejected Saul, but I have found my own king. So God had made the determination that David was going to sit on the throne. But it did not happen overnight. It was not just God anointing David today and David sitting on the throne tomorrow. Somebody say it's a process. So God now begins to take David through a process towards his ascension to the throne. Along the way, David did not realize that at some point in time, he is going to be in the most lonely place of his life. He finds himself in a cave where he is all by himself. But he is the man that God has appointed to sit on the throne. But he is so far away from the palace. Somebody say amen. Why is he so far away from the palace? It's because everything that God does has a process. Somebody say amen. And I want to say this because there's some of us are discouraged because God has given us a word. We may have received the word yesterday. We may have received the word yesteryear. We may have received the word a decade ago. We may have received the word 15 years ago, and that word has not yet come to pass. And we are wondering, God, why is it taking so long for that word to pass? Has God forgotten about me? Or did I do something wrong to disqualify myself from what God has set out for me? But I want to let you know that God is working out a process. And that process did not begin with you hearing what God has said, but that process began when God intended to do what he desires to do in your life. That was before God communicated to you what he was going to do. There was already a process that heaven had already initiated to bring you to what God has ordained. Somebody say amen. It's a process. So the process may be taking long. David, you are ordained to be the man who is going to sit on the throne. Yet now you are going through the process. You are going through the process where the man who you are supposed to learn from wants to kill you. You are learning, you're going through a process where you still have to be a servant to your father, bringing the bread, the wine, and the cheese to your brothers that are in the battlefield. You are still going to have to act like a madman for you to preserve your life. So David, you're going to have to act like a madman. But through the process, there are going to be some highs. People are going to sing songs about you when you are a captain of the armies of Saul. People are going to sing songs about you when you kill Goliath. Somebody say amen. There are going to be small victories along the way, but you have not attained the ultimate thing that God has promised you. But God is not really, really concerned or worried about the outcome, because the outcome is already guaranteed, because his word does not return to him void. Says the psalm which is read, Psalm 92, says there is no unrighteousness in him. Therefore, God does not lie. When God says you are going to become, you are going to become. But it's going to take a process. And that process is not really God trying to figure out what to do to get you there, but it's a process of God making sure that you are ready when there becomes now. Anybody hearing me? So there are some people right now, you are in a process where God is sifting you, where God is molding you, where God is shaping you, where God is literally breaking you. The Bible says that he is the potter. Somebody say amen. God is the potter and we are the clay. And God knows what shape we must ultimately become. He knows what object we must ultimately become. And he knows the process that is required to take that lump of clay and mold it into a thing of beauty. And God knows that you are a seed that must be curated. You are a seed that must be cultivated to bring you into a place of producing not just fruit, but producing much fruit. So God puts you through the process. The reason why I want to emphasize on that is that when God embarks on a process, he is so thorough. Somebody say amen. God is so thorough in the process that there are not going to be any impurities in you because of the standard that he has set out for the final product. Somebody say amen. How many of us know that in a manufacturing plant, they usually have people that do standardized testing? They test the product. They do quality testing for the product to make sure that it meets the specifications that were designed before the product was made. I'm going to go a little bit deeper tonight because I feel something just brewing in somebody's life. Don't be discouraged because God is not through with you. Don't be discouraged because God is still working you through the process. God has so much confidence in the process that he has selected for you to go through to your miracle. Okay. Do you know that whenever they plant a tree, a fruit tree, at some seasons it has to be pruned? Some of you are going through a season of pruning, and in that season you are losing some things. Somebody say amen. You are losing some things in that season. But as you are losing some things, in the long run, you are gaining much more. You are gaining something of greater weight than what you have lost. That simply means that God is looking. Remember, He calls the beginning from the end. God is sitting at the end of who you are going to become. And He is embarking on the process to take you there. And God has custom designed a process specifically for you to bring out the best in you. And I want to say this now, where we are right now, don't give up on God, because God won't give up on you. God won't put you through a process that will not lead to the outcome that He has desired. If God has said there is going to be greatness in your life, greatness is coming. Somebody say amen. Greatness is coming. But here's the thing. You are called to be a great preacher. But before you become a great preacher, you have to become a great scholar. But before you become a great preacher, you have to become a great servant. Before you become a great preacher, you have to become a great leader. You have to become a great steward. So God is taking you through various processes to bring you to that place. And like what Bishop Tudor said, don't choke in the process, because God is leading you through the process. God, the glory of God resides in the fact that God can take something that is nothing and make it something that is worth so much more. Because God has faith in the process that He is taking you through. Somebody say amen. So we're gonna pray just now. Just because you are anointed does not mean you are not going to go through the refining process. Just because you are ordained does not mean you are exempt from the furnace of purification. Just because you have been ordained into ministry does not mean you are going to be exempt from affliction. Listen, the Bible says, "For we know that all things work together for the good." Hallelujah. Somebody say amen. Romans, all things work together for the good. For them that love the Lord and are called according to His purpose. You where you are, there are some things you are going through. They are working together for your good. What are they working? They are working the process that has been designated by God to bring out of you what God has ordained in you. Some of you are wondering why you are struggling financially in this season. The reason why you are struggling financially in this season, because God wants to instruct you on how to manage what is coming your way in the future. The Bible says, if you are faithful with little, God help me, you are going to be trusted with much more. But how is your faithfulness in the little trusted when you are living in abundance? Your faithfulness in the little is challenged when you have to make some tremendously difficult decisions to keep yourself in alignment with what heaven has ordained concerning you. You see, David could have taken an easy way out, kill Saul, and he would be on the throne. But God was taking David through a process to prove and develop his integrity. Saying, David, you are not going to be accountable to man, but you are going to be accountable to God. Somebody say amen. Because when you are accountable to God, you realize that God knows all things. You realize that God sees all things. That there is nothing that is hidden from God. So God sees all things. Don't think about taking shortcuts from the process. Because if you take shortcuts from the process, you are going to abort what God wants to do. Somebody say amen. If you take a, if you take If you take a shortcut in the process, you are going to bring about an abnormal birth to the thing that God has ordained for your life. If you take a shortcut process, there are going to be some complications that are going to bring an abnormality to where God is taking you. Now watch this. The thing that you have to understand is that for David, the throne was not the assignment. Somebody say amen. God help me. For David, the throne was not the assignment. The assignment for David was to model something for future generations. The assignment for David was to establish a standard that even the Gentiles are going to follow. So for some of you, you are asking God for a business, but the business is not the assignment. The business is not the assignment. It's what you are going to do with the fruit from the business that is the assignment. Some of you are being developed to be great preachers, but the pulpit is not the assignment. The assignment is the expansion and the enlargement of the kingdom of God. So God is taking you through a kingdom approved process in light of the assignment. You are wondering why some of your relationships are breaking around you. They are breaking around you because the Bible, God wants to teach you that you have to lean on God and not on the arm of flesh. The reason why you are suffering some betrayals at this moment, because God wants you to put all your trust in Him and not in man. So instead of you complaining to God for what He has chosen to put you through, the Bible says, count it all joy. God loves you so much that He put you through a process to develop you. Let me just work this a little bit deeper. We're going to pray just now. Let me just work this a little bit deeper. Do you realize that Solomon had the throne, but the throne was not the assignment? And early on in his reign, Solomon understood. Because when he went to Gibeon, where the tabernacle of Moses was, God visited Solomon in a dream. And he inquired of Solomon, what would you have me give to you? Solomon could have asked for a reign, all for a reign for eternity. But Solomon asked God for wisdom. Because Solomon had to model a certain level of wisdom, not only for his generation, but for generations to come. You and I have to understand that the Queen of the South, the Queen of Sheba, did not go to see Solomon because of his throne. The Queen of the South went to see Solomon because of his wisdom. That's why the book of Proverbs says wisdom is the principal thing. You see, what God is doing in your life, He is working out the thing that's going to bring you to a place of prominence. Hallelujah. You see, it's not how great you preach, it's the anointing that flows from what you preach that makes you great. So God is working you through a process of the anointing to bring you into a place where your flesh is dead and your spirit is speaking what heaven is saying, because what heaven is saying is what is going to bring life to the people that are going to be hearing what you have to say. So God is taking you through a process like the olive seed being crushed, being pressed 7 times for the oil to flow. Being put through a furnace 7 times hotter to bring out all the impurities. that when you stand before man, you realize it's not by your own strength nor your own wisdom, but it's by the mighty hand of God that you are where you are. So tonight, all I want to encourage you is this, that God knows exactly what He is doing. I'm going to say it again. God knows exactly what He is doing. So stop trying to tell Him how to do His job as God. Oh, help me, Jesus. Stop trying to tell Him you can do a better job, because the Bible says, Isaiah, my ways are not yours. They are even higher than yours. You see, there is only one God, and that God is in heaven. That God made all things and even you. So your wisdom cannot be compared to the wisdom of God. So whatever God is doing what is best. See, earlier on this week, I made this statement that it has really revolutionized the way that I see things. That God does not have a problem producing the outcome of what He has promised. The thing that delays what God wants to do is the person that God wants to mold into that thing. Because you want to tell God how it should be done. You want to tell God what the outcome should be. But God specifically sets this out, that no ear has heard, no eye has seen, nor has it entered into the hearts of man. And also by the Apostle Paul in the book of Ephesians, he says, now unto him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that you could ever ask or think. So the great preacher you think God should mold you into is not worthy to be compared to the preacher that God wants to make you into. That's why God has chosen a process that may not be agreeable with you. But I pray that tonight you resolve it in your heart. I trust God, because there is no unrighteousness in Him. I trust God that He will bring me into that thing which He ordained. You see, God could have chosen, it's only a 3 days journey from Egypt to go into the land of promise. But God took them by the way of the wilderness. And He said, I took you by the way of the wilderness to prove what is in your heart. God, release your strength upon your people tonight. Give them the fortitude and the strength to be able to stand and wait upon you. Give them the sense and the wisdom to trust you, O God, in what you have ordained to do in their lives. It may take for a while, it might take a while, but God, perfection is already been ordained at the end in the name of Jesus. God, we have God. Let me just read Psalm 92 again so I can just show you what I'm talking about right here. Psalm 92 again. It says this. It is good to give thanks to the Lord and to sing praises to your name, O Most High, to declare your loving kindness in the morning and your faithfulness every night. Whether I have experienced a high day or a low day, He is still worthy of all my praise. I may not understand the process He's taking me through, but if it is ordained of God, I am down with it in the name of Jesus. I say, God, you are the potter and I am the clay. Mold me, shape me in whichever way you desire. I know that God, I am the planting of the Lord. Oh God, help me. It says we are trees of righteousness. And it may specifically makes this declaration that we are the planting of the Lord. That specifically says that now we don't tell God where we want to be planted. You see, because an apple tree doesn't tell the orchard man, I don't want to be planted there, I want to be planted here. Because it's more comfortable here, because there is greater sunlight here, there is greater visibility here. People may notice my anointing more if I am here. People may open doors for me of significance if I am here. But God says, I am not wanting to plant you there. I want to plant you there, because where I want to plant you, God, help me, help me, help me, help me. Where I want to plant you is not about visibility. It's about effectiveness in your calling. So stop telling God where you want to be planted. He is worthy to be praised from the morning and the night, in the nighttime. Listen to what Psalm number 4, verse number 4 says in 92. For you, Lord, have made me glad through your work. I will triumph in the works of your hand. God is working on you. You see, do you know that they in psychology, they have something that they call projection? And when you say projection in psychology, they're saying you don't see any problems. You don't see any problems in you. You see them in somebody else, but they're not really that somebody else's problem. They are your problems. The Bible, Jesus puts it this way. You know, you are telling someone to remove a twig from their eye when you have a log in yours. That's projection. You see, sometimes we are looking for men to change so that things can be better, but God wants to change us. That's why He's molding you. That's why He's breaking you. That's why He's shaping you. That's why He's putting you through the fire for you to be strong. You are going to experience season of testings and trials. But they are doing a work in you. Let them work patience, perseverance. Because where you are going to need those things. You don't want to get into your place of destiny and realize you don't know how to fight. You don't want to go to a place of destiny and realize you don't know how to manage what God has given you. So let me just give you this and we'll pray. I got about 4 minutes, about 5 minutes, I'll give you this and we'll pray. The process that God takes you involves principles and predefined systems and a series of laws and cycles that must be executed. There are a series of things that has already been ordained. Somebody, do you know that a seed has a process that it must go through for you to bring forth a tree? It must be buried in the ground. It must begin to interact with the systems that are in the soil. It comes up. It must begin to interact with systems that are in the atmosphere, whilst it's still interacting with systems that are in the soil. Somebody say hallelujah. I'm about to preach myself happy, and I'm supposed to be praying. Let me tell you what's happening. You see, the greatness of a tree is not determined by the fruit. It's determined by the depth of its roots. So right now, nobody sees you. Because you are not developing the systems to be seen at the moment. You are developing the systems to be grounded. Oh, God help me. Because the systems that you are developing in terms of your root system and your grounding, it's going to determine the quality of fruit you are going to produce. Oh, some of you may not know me, but my turn will come for you to know me. They may not be looking out for you right now, but your turn will come. And when they find you, you will not be shaken by whatever comes your way, because you have dug your roots deeper in God. You see, I would rather develop a sustaining system to be able to tap into deeper depths of water, to be able to sustain whatever I am going to be producing, that in the day of adversity, I will still be able to stand. The winds may come, but the winds cannot uproot me, because God has planted me where I'm supposed to be flourishing. So tonight I want to tell somebody, don't cry because there is no fruit that everybody can pick right now. Rejoice because your roots are going deeper in God. And when your season comes to produce fruit, they're going to be wondering, where have you been all these years? And don't be prideful and say, well, I was just telling, all these years I've been developing a networking system in the ground to sustain what God is about to produce in me. My affliction has taught me how to pray. My affliction has taught me how to seek the face of God. My affliction has taught me that I don't need the applause of man to do what God has called me to do. Oh man, I wish I could preach right now. I can preach myself happy right now. You see, I have learned to trust in God so much that I don't preach for an offering. Do you know why I say that? Because if you are going to preach and your word is geared specifically towards getting an offering, you are going to preach a word to tickle people's ears but never transform them. But if you have walked with God, you realize that God is your source. He supplies all your needs according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus. You realize He owns a cattle on 1,000 hills. You realize all the silver is His, all the gold is His. The Bible says the earth and the fullness thereof, even the dust, even they that dwell therein, they belong to God. You realize that God is Jehovah Jireh. You realize you are more accountable to God than you are to man. So I would rather preach what is approved by God than that which is approved by man. So tonight I want to say this. I've done a bit of a longer teaching, but I want to say this. You are in the place you have been ordained by God to be in. You are in the midst of a process that is going to bring the best out of you. It doesn't matter how long it's going to take. It will not take too long. It will not be delayed. But at the appointed time, you are going to find yourself coming off the potter's wheel, getting into a place of glory where you can be used for what you have been designed. You are not going to be chucked on the hill under the junk pile, because you are a work of perfection. Can I go a little bit deeper here tonight just to show you something? You see, the gestation period of a rabbit is different from the gestation period of an elephant. Because a rabbit is small his gestation period is short.
Oh, help me somebody.
Help me, Holy Spirit. You see, an elephant will carry its baby in its womb for at least 36 months. Can I give you the gestation period of a nation? 400 years. The nation of Israel was in the womb of Egypt. 400 years. The reason why it's taking too long is because you're going to birth something that is of greater significance. You don't see your ministry right now, but just hang on, keep on trusting God and trust God for the process, because what is coming out of you is going to affect nations. See, God is trying to teach you that I want to do something bigger through you. I just don't want you to be preaching to your daughters, to your sons and your daughters. I want you to preach to my sons and my daughters among the nations. So I am going to put you on the wheel for a long time to mold you into perfection. I will not put you on the shelf until you have been through the furnace. You have been strengthened 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 times. And now you are able to sustain whatever is coming at the end of the process. So my prayer points for tonight are: thank God for calling you. Thank God for ordaining you. Thank God for anointing you. Thank God for appointing you. Thank God for selecting you. But thank God for the process that He's taking you through. God is so sure about His work. Not only His work, He's so sure about His process. Not only is He sure about His process, God is so sure about His ability that He doesn't call a somebody, He calls a nobody to make them a somebody. God was so sure of the process that He took a shepherd boy and promised him the throne. God is so sure of the process that He took a man with a barren wife and said, I'm going to make you a father of many nations. So trust God for the process that He's bringing you through. Some of you, the songs you are writing, you would have never been able to write them if everything was going okay with you. But your deliverance is part of the process that God is walking you through. I declare that in this season, the enemy will not come and discourage you. You are going to stand steadfast on what God has promised. You are going to go through the process that has been ordained by God. And you are going to come out on the other side. And when God looks at you, God will say, now this looks awesome. Wipe out your tears and settle in your heart. I will not give up on God because He has not given up on me. No matter how hard and difficult the process is, I will trust God through and through. I will walk with God all my days. Somebody say amen. Now, here's the thing, and I'm almost done. Here's the thing. when the process that God takes you begins to establish some things around you. And I want to just highlight a few things. I know that I have put a long list that I have, but I will just highlight a few things. That when God begins to take you through the process of manifesting His word, of manifesting His promise, you are going to go through a schooling process. Somebody say amen. You are going to go through school. Let me backtrack here. Elijah was running away. And God said to Elijah, now listen up, Elijah. I need you to go and anoint Elisha to be a prophet in your stead. Somebody say amen. So Elisha was chosen to be the one who would take over the mantle of Elijah when Elijah is gone. But Elisha had to go through a process. He had to serve the servant of God, Elijah. Anybody hearing me? So your process involves an element of schooling. Number two, the process involves an area of maturing you. And that maturity, it's maturing your character, maturing your understanding, is developing your gift, is changing your perception and perspective. Somebody say amen. It's changing your ethics. It's changing your faith. It's shifting your vision. It's shifting your expectation. It's shifting a whole lot of things, because all those things have to be in alignment before you get to where God is taking you. So like I read something earlier on this evening, grow up. Growing up is not optional, it's a requirement to where God is taking you. So tonight, don't cry. Trust God and watch God work to bring you to that place. And I did say that late last week, I said that when I pray, I'm always going to speak a blessing over you. I know that tonight our prayer has been more of a teaching tonight, but I make no apologies. I'm just following what the Holy Spirit is saying. And I said that I always want to speak a blessing over you. And when I do this tonight, I want to ground it in Scripture. Somebody say amen. I want to ground it in Scripture, because the words of men do not sanctify, but it is the word of God that sanctifies. So I want to ground this in the Scripture. And for me to ground this in the Scripture, I want to take you to Genesis chapter number 12. And I'll read verse number 1 to verse number 3. I think we've done this before. Genesis 12, verse 1 to verse number 3. It says that, now the Lord had said to Abraham, get out of your country, from your family, and from your father's house, to a land that I will show you. I will make you a great nation. I will bless you and make your name great, and you shall be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and I will curse him who curses you, and in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed. That's Genesis 12, right? Verse number 1 to verse number 3. Now jump over to Genesis chapter number 24. Verse number 1. Genesis chapter number 24, verse number 1. So if you are there, just say amen, and I will read. Genesis 24, verse number 1. It says, now Abraham was old, well advanced in age, and the Lord had blessed Abraham in all things. Did you see that? Verse 12, chapter number 12, verse 1 to 3. God sent Abraham what God is going to do. And in verse number 24, the Bible makes this declaration that God had blessed Abraham in all things. Okay? So what blessing do I want to pronounce over you today? I want to declare that you are going into a season of your life where God is going to bless you in all things. You are blessed to be a blessing. You are going to be a blessing to your family, a blessing to your bloodline, a blessing to your generation, and a blessing to your nation. You are blessed in all things. You are blessed. The works of your hands are going to prosper. You are blessed. Whatsoever you set your mind to do will not fail. It is going to succeed. Why? Because the blessing of the Lord is upon you. Somebody say amen. The blessing of the Lord is upon you. Let me read the scripture and I'm done for the day. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face shine upon you and may he be gracious towards you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Somebody say amen. May the Lord give you peace all your days. May the Lord give you favor all your days. May the Lord keep you in the right frame of mind all your days. Know that you have not been given the spirit of fear, but God has blessed you with peace. God has blessed you with peace. Peace to be able to endure the process. Grace to endure the process. Because God has set his countenance towards you. It actually means, may the Lord take a kind disposition towards you. What is a kind disposition? May the Lord favor you. May the Lord favor you all your days.